If it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Skilling joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And hot is the operative word. Tom, I'm seeing all kinds of warnings on my phone. ComEd is telling me to turn off everything I own. And what is happening?
You know what? And it's going to get hotter before it's all over. We do have a break coming in this over the weekend, later in the weekend, early next week. The dew points will come down a little bit. It'll feel a little less humid. Temps will come down a bit. And then, bam, we go back into it again next week. And the warmth next week may be hotter than what we've got going this week. You know, it's interesting, Rob. I was taking a walk along the lakefront on Sunday, and there was no air. You know, this was during the afternoon when there should have been a lake breeze coming in. It was hot, and the reduction in temperatures even along the lakefront is not all that great, although it's enough to save us the full impact of the warmth inland. But, you know, a lot of people love this. We've mentioned before, I work with Bill Snyder. He loves this stuff. I keep telling him, if you like this so much, we're going to put you out by the antenna farm out on Bradley Place, you know, right back outside.
Right out. Actually, in one of the big satellite dishes, because that will actually create an oven effect. You know, I'm Tom, one of those guys who claims I love it, and now that we're in it, I'm like, oh God, it's so hot. I really don't have a good sweet spot. My sweet spot keeps moving, but I do prefer this to a summer that's, you know, cool and rainy. Yeah. And we've had a lot of those over the last years, and this does make it feel like we're doing something.
This is really probably the most genuine article we've had in way of summer weather. You know, we have more 90s on the books right now. We're up to 13. Today will be 14. That's well over twice normal. It's the most we've only had five other years since 1970 that we've had as many or more 90s. So this, we're really in pretty unusual territory here. And it's the third month that we've had above normal temperatures. So, and our lake has warmed up. Of course, you know, the beaches here officially aren't open, but there are beaches around us that are. And we've got water temperatures up in the mid-70s right now. That's as warm as they've been at any time this year.
And how high will they get? Will it get to 80?
Yeah, you know, usually you get up to an 80 or an 81, sometimes an 82 in really, you know, typical warm summers around here. So, yeah. We're up in the mid-70s now, and we're headed in that direction. We also, it's been the sunniest open to a July around here since World War II, since 1944, which is pretty amazing, and it goes hand-in-hand with all the warmth that we've had around here, too. It's also gotten kind of dry in the last week. I had one of our farmers who checks in with me, tells me the corn crop's doing great this year. But he does say that in the next couple of weeks, we've got to get some rain because the crop starts pollinating. It tassels out. And at that point, just how much of those ears of corn fill out are dictated by rains falling during this critical pollination or tasseling period, as it's called. So the farmers will be watching the weather very, very closely in the next couple of weeks. And just how full those ears of corn get with kernels and all will be dependent upon the rain pattern, which has been pretty limited, you know, and hit or miss. Some areas have gotten a lot. Other areas have not gotten anything.
And it's,
that's why you got to get your rain in spring, because that's when you get good general rains. You get into this time of the year and it's hit or miss. You know, you either get dumped on or you miss it.
It does seem like we're having these pockets of really heavy rainfall. Last week, we had, I think in the southern suburbs, it was something like 3 inches in like an hour or just over an hour. I mean, that's crazy monsoon levels. What causes that?
Well, you know what happens is our weather, our rains are produced by convective clouds, towering cumulonimbus clouds that make thunderstorms. And they sweep air from all around them into a concentrated shaft of rainfall on those things. Now, on a hot summer day, you'll have about 1.5 to 2, 2.25 inches of water in a column of air 30,000 feet high. We call that the precipitable water value. And 98% of Earth's atmospheric moisture is in the lowest 30,000 feet of the atmosphere, because the atmosphere gets pretty thin up there above that. So looking at the amount of water in that, think about it. You got a column of air with 2 inches of water in it, and you have a thunderstorm that's capable of sweeping multiple columns of 2 inches of water in it into a concentrated rain shaft. And you can see why you get these incredible rains. It's also why a thunderstorm uniquely comes in with those foreboding, dark-looking clouds. The clouds are so thick, they block the sunlight.
Okay, but hold on. I want to know why this year seems a little different, but we'll come right back to that. Stay right there. Tom Skilling is with us, brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. We will come back with Tom Skilling right after we check the traffic. Here's Lauren Lapka. Back with Tom Skilling, brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And Tom, we were just talking about why this year, and I think it's also over the last few years, we have these superstorms that hit specific areas really hard. That seems unique to me. That seems like it's a new feature. Is it?
No, you know what, Ro? I think we measure the better. You know that 75% of the weather observations taken in this country are done by volunteer observers. They're either Weather Service co-op observers, or there's a network called the Coco Ross Network, and you can go online and call up the Coco Ross rain reports, and they are amazing. The density and the coverage of those volunteer networks is just stunning. So we've got more rain gauges out there measuring these little localized areas, and I think that's part of it. We've also had, you know, remote sensing capability with radars. We can estimate rainfall, and those estimates are getting better and better. The algorithms they come up with are improving. So I think a lot of, you know, some of this is we see this, but on superimposed on that trend toward heavier rains as the planet warms, we've had a 47% increase since the late 1950s in the number of extreme rain events. And that's directly related to the fact the atmosphere is getting warmer, and when it gets warmer, it holds more water. Each degree Fahrenheit that the atmosphere warms leads to a 4% increase in its capacity to hold water. And that has all kinds of implications. I mean, our hurricanes are getting wetter. They're slowing down, too. Mm. They're developing more quickly off the coastlines. And here in the center of the country, you know, it's no accident we have a lake at record levels for the 8th month. We're 3 inches higher now on the lake levels than at any point in July. The last time the lake was close to this was July of 1986, and we've come off that low cycle that we were in about 5 years ago. So, but that's driven by precipitation. There are other factors too, like evaporation and so forth, and that has to do with the winter weather.
You did mention, and I find this to be a little scary, you mentioned that the lake temperature is going to be in the, you know, it's in the heading toward the 80s, going to be a hotter year than normal. As
yes.
we look at that number, what does that mean for the winter, or at least the fall, in terms of warmer by the lake, or will it create more storms? What does it do?
Well, you raise an interesting, you know, you were talking about the summer and the spring and all. Our lake is running about 4 degrees warmer. The whole Lake Michigan surface is running about 4 degrees warmer than it did last year. And so you're absolutely right. I mean, our lake absorbs heat in the summer and carries it into the fall and winter, and that can have a couple of effects. If you bring cold air masses over a warm lake, you get more lake effect snow in the lake snow-prone areas, but it also helps hold the temperatures up some. It's one of the reasons, you know, our falls around here are often so beautiful. Because the suburbs will cool off away from the lake much quicker than we do here in the city. We call that thermal inertia. That is where, you know, you get a certain temperature, and then the water changes temperatures more slowly than the atmosphere and air around it. So you carry the warmth deeper into the cold season from the lake, and likewise, you carry the chill of winter deeper into the warm season. But we had a not so bad spring in terms of temperature. So we went into this warm season with a warmer lake, and that is part of it. You know, normally you have to wait till mid-June for the lake breeze not to have us all shivering and reaching for winter
right.
coat.
Right.
But it came early this year because the lake warmed up pretty expeditiously.
And actually a pleasant way, too, is as we had these 90s, out, you know, west, you know, of Ashland or Western Avenue, you start to get the 90s, but the east of Western Avenue, let's call it, it's 80s, very, very pleasant. It's really been a very beautiful summer all
beautiful.
In all.
It has. I think it's been a lovely summer, and many people are happy to see some real summer-like warmth around here. Although I had a fellow who said, I work out of this. He said, I drink 2 gallons of water a day, and I'm still dehydrated. You know, it's one thing for us who spend time in air-conditioned facilities to look out on this and say, oh, bring it on. And if you have to go out and work in this stuff and perform physical labor, this is a challenge. And heat, we discovered in 1995, you know, used to be if you belly ached about the fact it was going to get hot, you were told, grow up, it gets hot here in the summer and all the rest. But, you know, we found something out in 1995, and that is that heat is deadly.
Yeah, so let's look ahead then, because you also alluded to the fact that there's going to be even warmer weather next week. Are we looking at triple digits?
You know, it's been 2012, since 8 years ago, since we had our last 100. And, in fact, yesterday's date marked the conclusion of 3 consecutive 100-degree-plus days in Chicago back in 2012. That's the last time we've had a triple digit. So we're overdue in a manner of speaking, and I'm telling you, if there is a weather setup that's going to do it, it's the one that we've got developing. So I'll tell you, we don't have 100 in the forecast yet, but you do look at a couple of models that kick out what we call perfect prod temps, and these are non-human massaged, human-reviewed temperatures, and every now and then they spike up to 100, and while you normally dismiss extreme heat like that at that distance and time, it does seem to be the kind of pattern where if we're going to get 100, this will be the kind of pattern that does it next week. So we'll see.
Well, I really do hope that we at least touch one, because I don't like it if we don't have one in a decade. And that's very important for me. I want to be able to claim that we have over a 100-degree differential between the winter and the summer. So that 100 makes it easy. If we get to 0 or we get to -2 or whatever it is, some overnight, then we are able to say that, and it freaks people out who come from, you know, more moderate climates. Don't you miss the fact that there's a 100-degree difference between the coldest and hottest day?
Do you know, in 1995, when we lost over 700 souls to that incredible heat, I started getting emails from Las Vegas and other areas, people saying, what a bunch of pansies you guys are in the Midwest. We put up with 100-degree temperatures every day, and we're not dying. They almost were saying, how dare you, having the audacity to, you know, die or succumb to this. And some newspaper editor wrote me from Arkansas, where it is notoriously hot and humid. But he said, you know, the people in the office here have been saying, you know, what are they, dying in this kind of heat up in Chicago? We're hot like that every day. But he said, I think there's qualitatively something different about your heat. Well, there is. First of all, in Las Vegas, you have dew points, you have humidities that are, you know, small. So the body's able to cool itself differently out there. When you've got dry air, the evaporation of moisture from our skin, perspiration, that's a cooling mechanism. Believe me, it gets hot out there and you can overcome that. But you have a better chance of cooling off in that heat than you do here when we had dew points in the 80s, which is as high as the moisture content of the air ever goes. So we, in a very real sense, we're subjected to a level of heat that even the notoriously and perennially hot spots in the country don't reach. But I know what you're saying. It's kind of like surviving a blizzard. You know, we can check that one off and put it on our belt buckle and say, hey, we survived this, you know, and got through it. So
right. There is something to it. We do have to brag about something around here. I did notice over the weekend, we got about a minute left, but I did notice over the weekend that there were a lot of people on the lake. Now, they weren't on the beaches, but there were boats out there, and that playpen that Lori Lightfoot's all mad about, you know, where all the boats tie up next to each other and all the kids fall in the water, that was hot as it has ever been. I mean, there were dozens upon dozens of boats.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm up here by Kathy Osterman Beach, which is the beach right at the north end of Lakeshore Drive. And for a couple of days last week, it looked like any other summer day. There were crowds out there. But all of a sudden, on Thursday and Friday, nobody was out there. I mean, there's nothing on those beaches. There aren't even lifeguard, you know, chairs anymore this year out there yet. And taking my walk down along the lake, I noticed they had yellow police tape up, and they had policemen and city workers clearly marked in these orange vests patrolling it. And like, They did a sweep of that beach. But you know what's amazing is, if you looked at the grassy areas adjacent to the beach, they are packed with people.
I know.
The density there is every bit as great as the beach that they evacuated. And I almost wonder if maybe it wouldn't have been better to let people on the beach and enforce the separation there, you know, than packing all into the landmass next to the beaches.
What we need to do is we need to get Lori Lightfoot lookalikes. We need to get people to go out as Alina and have her on all these, like in 100 different places at one time, and to really freak people out. I think it's the only way to get around it.
By the way, I love Lori. I think she's trying her best at an impossible job, and I say that about all the mayors. I get mad at them sometimes,
tough job. Tom Skilling, brought to us by Permacil Basement Systems. Thank you, Tom. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Ro, good to talk to you. Stay cool.